Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody back to Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP Hopewell, the soul in sports. Also on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM, I am your host, Mike Knox. And indeed, I spell my name with three X's because like the backbone of the Hart Foundation, Jim the Anvil Neinhart, I am hardcore, people. This show, is dedicated to one of my favorite tag teams in the history of professional wrestling, the Hart Foundation, as the wrestling world yet again lost one of its icons in the world of professional wrestling. Hashtag RIP Anvil. Hashtag RIP Jim Neinhart. And today, people, as always, first, the particulars. The number to call in and spread your love, spread your hate. We don't care what it is. Just call in at 347-637-3859. But remember, what happens in the barbershop stays in the barbershop, because we can talk about anybody, whoever, whatever you want to talk to about the barbershop. Well, except for Riley Curry, of course. Anything can happen here. God, today I wear my heart on my sleeve, as you can already tell, and I wear it like this. Today, guys, the best and worst of the weekend, NFL preseason. Wow, what a start to preseason. We will talk about the NFL and break down the NFC and decide who will win the NFC over and unders for this division. Now, normally we do this last, as we always go in if we're an NFC East heavy favorite show, as we're a Redskins radio station with a Eagles lover, and you know that AFC South somewhere about here about Micah, but nobody cares about the AFC South. Well, that's just talking about Mr. Watson, okay? But without that being said, also, as we wear our hearts on our sleeve today, what is next for the Washington Redskins? After losing their star running back over the weekend in the preseason game, they get into a fight over the weekend as well with the New York Football Jets, 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 Jets. A lot to discuss. Also, WWE Raw Go Home Show is tonight to SummerSlam. We will dive into referring and talking about the late, great Jim the Anvil Neinhart. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Natty and TJ and the rest of the Hart Foundation family in totality. And like I said, I dedicate this show to you guys. I really do. There's three tag teams I love in my life, the British Bulldogs as well as the Hart Foundation, amongst two of my favorite tag teams of all time. So I will talk about that. And also, Power was last night. And I'm going to say this much, guys. The return of Ballers and the return of Insecure. Well, Insecure was pretty good last night. But Ballers need to step up, because right now, Power is the TV show. So the Power, it is Power Mondays with the Power Top 5. Jay Chris got his thing over at the new Twitch show talking about the Power 10. If you have not checked that out, I mean, seriously, you're on YouTube every single day. What are you doing? But as always, welcome to the program live from the DMV. We know his black ass got some ID because, you know, frankly, he's in D.C. where, you know, the celebrity in chief is at. So we know they will lock his black ass up. What's going on?
What's going on, Mike? Yeah, man. Sad day, man. Actually, that's one of my favorite tag teams, too. Heart Foundation was one of my favorite tag teams. So RIP the Anvil. He made the goatee tight. You know, the long WC goatee, he made that thing tight.
He absolutely did it. And just a tragic. I mean, I got the news this morning. It was scrolling around on Twitter. I have the ability of having some information myself. So I reached out, and when I got the sad news back, you know, I reported to you guys first that it was not a rumor, that it had been true, although other outlets were reporting it. I just wanted to get an official word from more than just the dirt sheets that were on Twitter. So we're going to do this show the best we can in honor of Jim the Anvil Neihardt and the Neihardt family. But also, welcome to the program. His mama calls him Micah. You can find him on Twitter at Mr. CEO Emmy Richmond on the Twitter. What's going on, Micah?
I wanted to be happy, but I can't. Jim,
why?
The best goatee in the business, next to Captain Lou Albano, of course. Because I mean, come on. I mean, that was the way he did his mustache, and of course, Dutch Martel. I mean, they just some of the best beards and goatees in the business, just the way they did their stuff up. But man, just. You know, I was ready to be fired up and talk trash about how Koepka can't even, you know, keep his own headline because Tiger finished second. And there's nothing hype about this, man. I'm not hype. I am not hype like Mojo Rawley's recent run. I'm just not there. But condolences go out to friend of the program. You already know him. You got the chance to get in touch with them and things like that. So friend of the program. Go out to y'all family, man. We appreciate everything your father, man. We appreciate everything your father has done for wrestling business, and we wish we could have had him around a little bit longer. It seems like is it only Brett that's left right now? Is it only Brett
of the original Hart Foundation? Yeah,
the original
Hart
Foundation.
We have left is Brett the Hitman Hart. You're right. We've lost Brian Pillman. We've lost Owen Hart. Now Jimmy Anvil Neihardt. Davey Boy British, the Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith is gone. Yeah, all we have left is Brett the Hitman Hart. And his tweet this morning said it all, said he is not prepared for this, and he has no words to deal with this. So, like I said, I mean, being a Christian man myself and being one who have lost people myself, I'm not going to mourn this time. I'm going to celebrate this man. I think his life should be celebrated. So today, we're going to try to touch on that and have a great show. With that being said in mind, welcome the creator of the Power Top 10. Because listen, Freeble, Micah may be in the dark and don't watch Power or Insecure or Ballers, but on Power Mondays, he needs to pay attention. So welcome to the program from the Philadelphia Eagles fan base themselves, because we are the champions, my friend. What's going on, Jay Chris?
Yo, what's going on, fellas? Man, rest in peace to Jim the Anvil Neihardt. I'm actually just finding out a few minutes ago as I called into the show. But, yeah, definitely one of my favorite tag teams. I probably have five favorite tag teams, and they were definitely – Hart Foundation was definitely on that list, man. It's sad to hear that. I'm rocking the goatee right now. And I always wanted to rock the goatee because of Jim the Anvil. I always wanted to be able to grab that joint and slide my hand down. But, you know, yeah, with the crazy laugh and everything. But yeah, you know, shout out to Power Mondays. You know, we definitely do our thing. Can't wait to get into that. And football is back. I'm ready to talk about that. And man, and prayers to Aretha Franklin and her family, because you know they're going through something right now as well. So we definitely got a lot to talk about on Monday.
Absolutely, absolutely. But with that being said, guys, I had to dig something out of the crates. So.
You know, some people think I'm a little strange. Yeah. Other wrestlers think I'm a little strange. In fact, a lot of wrestlers don't even want to wrestle the Anvil. Why, I don't know. Is it because when I pick a guy up for a body slam and I slam him to the floor, maybe it's too much for them? Or when the Anvil climbs the top rope and pow, comes down upon people, maybe they don't like that. Maybe that hurts. I love hurting other wrestlers, especially real big wrestlers and real big challenges, because I like a challenge.
And with that being said, guys, let's get into it. The NFL preseason took place in full swing this past weekend, and we got to start off with the station that's repping the identification at 1340 Fox Sports, and that is the Washington Redskins. We have our Redskins thing reported. Did I say it right that time, Riley? Thing? I mean, you've been trying to teach me. I need to go back to the lab.
Yeah, you said it.
Okay, I got it.
You said really good. You said real good. I'm proud of you.
I appreciate that, man, because that's how you say it in the DMV, not in Baltimore. Because they talk really weird in Baltimore.
Yeah,
not my friends in Baltimore, though. You know what I mean? The way they talk, their accents.
Cool folks in
Baltimore. Like,
go
watch Snoop from The Wire. It's all over the place. It's all over the place.
You know?
But serious note, man, where do the Washington Redskins go from here with losing Geis this past weekend, torn ACL, lost for the season? He was supposed to be this running back coming into this very deep NFC East running back division, being that, you know, we already got Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas, New York Giants off of the we got Saquon Barkley off of the blunder from the Browns. The Browns had one damn job to do, y'all, and that was draft Saquon Barkley, and they didn't do that. Okay, nothing against my boy Baker. We'll talk about him later, but, you know, they didn't get Saquon Barkley. He's in the Giants.
Yeah.
The Eagles are still in there with Jay Adahi. I think he's probably the third best back in this division already. Well, I got to be real. I'm an Eagle fan, but I like – I'm afraid of how good Saquon could be. It still sounds like you're saying, but Washington, this is a big blow for this team. Where did they go from this, Wally?
It looks like they're going to go. I mean, obviously, first off, losing Geis, a kid, you know, that, you know, positive, bubbly kid who always had a smile in practice, it's going to hurt the team. And a lot of players gravitated towards him. And actually, it's funny, in this short period of time of pretty much, you know, like, lack of a better term, like, fell in love with the kid. You see, like, Chris Thompson, a guy that was valuable for the Washington Redskins, a running back, met him this season and was tearing up, talking about how this kid is out for the season. You know, that's funny how, like, you know, during the whole draft process, people were talking about this guy's character. Like, he's this type of person. Like, you don't want this type of player on your team. Well, if you guys have only known you from the offseason through the offseason and are tearing up, that tells you a lot about character. So, yeah, I'll pray for this young man, you know, come back strong next season, you know, in 2019 for that to be his real season, and hopefully his knee is all taken care of. But on the flip side, talking about what the Redskins need to do now. It looks like internally they're going to go with the running back they have in-house with a Fat Rob Kelly, and also
– You call him Fat Rob? I just call him – I call him
Slim
Mr. R. Kelly.
Slim Rob now.
He's
slim now. He ain't fat no more. He's slim. And then you're looking at P. Ryan, the kid they drafted out of Oklahoma last year. These two are the individuals to me that were probably going to be like the – every down, I guess you can call them an every down, not every down, but the first and second running backs, because we all know first and second down running backs. We all know that Chris Thompson is going to be the third down running back, and he'll be the running back used in the passing game. But at the end of the day, I'm more of a fan of kind of bringing some people in to camp to kind of like see what they have, like an Adrian Peterson. Bring him into camp and then see what he has, because truth be told, looking at Robert Kelly and P. Ryan, they're questions. Like, you can't go into the season and feel confident that they're going to be productive at the running back position, knowing that they were the running back last season and the running game struggled.
Now, do you think this team, with everything I'm hearing today from out of camp, obviously, our friend of the program, Mr. Lake, that follows the Redskins, and our own Fox 1340 AM Fox Sports reporters are saying that today at practice and all along, I'm sorry, at here at training camp, the connection between veteran Vernon Davis and the veteran quarterback they picked up from Kansas City and Alex Smith are on just clicking, just a natural fit with each other. And do you think maybe Alex Smith, based off the recent comments of his former coach, Fat Andy, saying you can't just be a check down quarterback, and a check down quarterback cannot be my quarterback, do you think stuff like that will motivate Alex Smith, or is it what we see is what we get? Because I personally thought it was a downgrade from Kirk Cousins to bring in Alex Smith. Skip Bayless, for instance, is not very high on Kirk Cousins and closing moments. But I've watched Kirk Cousins, and I think that the Skins themselves as an organization didn't help Kirk by getting rid of guys like DeSean Jackson, getting rid of Pierre Garçon and things like that, and not being able to stay healthy, it contributes to Kirk Cousins. I personally think Kirk Cousins is very, you know, we call him the Magic Man, at least I do on this program, but I believed in Kirk. I thought Kirk was a very good quarterback, and I'm glad to see him move on. But can Alex Smith be is he a bridge quarterback, or is he here to lead this team back to the playoffs?
Well, for all the reports from the people that you mentioned, like some of the reporters out there, who some people I've seen have been to multiple training camps, they said that Alex Smith has never been like it in terms of the accuracy in training camp. Comparing him to the other quarterback, I'm not going to mention his name because the other quarterback ain't here anymore. But the quarterback, a lot of people feel like Alex Smith is an upgrade. So, you know, that's the buzz about Alex Smith here is that, and Jay Gruden has said it too, you know, if we look on the flip side, Jay said it about Alex Smith. He's saying that the playbook opens up more with Alex. He can do a lot more in terms of running read option. He can kind of, you know, he can open up in terms of, because Kirk Cousins really is not, at times, wasn't a guy that changed plays like Alex Smith, and that's because in the game of football, being in the NFL by some X amount of years and being under multiple systems, he knows pretty much a lot of he knows a lot about defenses in terms of coverages and whatnot, stuff that we know compared to an Alex Smith. But for this, Alex Smith with the vibe off of Alex Smith right now, and we're talking about reporters, fans, pundits, they like about Alex Smith. They love his leadership. They love how the team and the players, they look at him as more of a guy that kind of fits in. Like Kirk Cousins, to a certain extent, from what I've heard and what I've gathered, is that Kirk Cousins he was a guy that you respected and you did like. Wasn't one of the guys. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of the guys. Alex Smith is a guy that people gravitate. You mentioned Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis was first time a guy who loved Kirk Cousins, loved the defense, loved Alex Smith. Like, you hear, like, these defensive players rally around Alex Smith. So I'm not sure to say it's a downgrade. To be honest, from the buzz, it really seems like it's an upgrade. And you could say organizations trying to pitch that out there. But in terms of organization, everybody's in love with the new guy. And we've seen it before, though, right? You know what I mean? Like, that happens.
Right.
Everybody loves you more than the old guy. So that's, you know, it's all proof in the regular season. That's what you want to see. But, like, we're talking about some of the small things that people are infatuated with. This is even different than when Kirk Cousins took over for Robert Griffin III. Like, it was different. Like, people, yeah, they bad-mouthed Robert, but it wasn't, like, as high, like, they're talking about Kirk Cousins. It wasn't as high as if they're talking, like, how they're talking about Alex Smith. Everything is on, like, the 10th degree with Alex Smith. It's like, wow, he does this. Like, he's going to bring this aspect to the offense, which Kirk didn't do. He's this leader. Like, he's a big-time leader. Like, you would think that they're talking about Bang or Tom Brady to a point where they talk about leadership. So, like, everything is going – it's up to the other team level when they talk about Alex Smith compared to a Kirk Cousins.
I look at this team and just this whole NFC East, most importantly right now, which we're standing at, we're talking about the Washington Redskins. I think with this loss, and this was, to me, this year in itself was a year that was a question mark surrounding the Washington Redskins and where they would fit in this division. And based off, of course, the Super Bowl win for the Philadelphia Eagles, and, of course, Dallas being Dallas, we know that last year they had so much turmoil with is he or is he not going to be suspended and how that all took place. But you look at Dallas, and again, actually in totality with Dallas, they're always having a big circus around them. Now we got the Dez Bryant situation. Uh-huh. We got the sinking couch situation with Dakota Prescott. I refuse to call him Dak. His mama named Dakota. We're going to call him Dakota. Okay. And then now everything with Eli, or, you know, is he back? Are they going to sign Odell Beckham? Is Barkley the real deal? So this division is heavily talked about, most popular division in football, in my opinion. I think in most people's opinion, the NFC East is the most popular division in the NFL. A lot of question marks surrounding the Washington Redskins going through this year. But diving in, if you will, so to speak, to other teams in his division, today we hear wide receiver Alshon Jeffries, Jay Chris, might start the list on the pub list as well with the quarterback. Is this a very big deal for the Eagles coming off of shoulder surgery for Alshon Jeffries, Jay Chris?
Well, I mean, I think it's more of a precaution. I mean, he's your main receiver, so, yeah, it's definitely a big deal from that standpoint. But you want him to be ready for the regular season. He's coming off that torn rotator cuff surgery, and that's a serious injury. I mean, as a baseball player, you know that, you know, that's nothing to mess with. That usually takes a long time to heal up. So there is some concern there. You know, fortunately for him and for the Eagles, he's not throwing the ball. But you know, with a torn rotator cuff and even the labrum and things like that, you know, lifting the arm up can be very difficult to do. You know, with tendonitis, it can be difficult to do. So when something's torn inside there, it's definitely difficult to do. So you want that guy to be 100% or at least as close to 100% as he can be coming into the season. And, you know, it's not important for him to play now. He's a veteran. He knows how to get himself in shape and in control and ready to play. So, you know, I think it's more of a precautionary thing than anything else. But, I mean, like I said, he had that surgery in, like, if I'm not mistaken, March or April. So,
yeah,
you know,
like
it's going to take some
right
time to heal. It's going to take some time to heal. So, you know, he's got to get healed up.
Well, Saquon Barkley, Micah, also today left practice with a mild strain in his leg. Unlike Cowboy fans out there who wish the worst on the Washington Redskins when running back Geist went down, as much as I don't want Barkley to be successful in the NFL because he plays in my division, I don't want to see anybody hurt. I've never thought it was funny, dating back to when all the stuff went on with Derrick Rose getting hurt repeatedly and all the memes that came out about him. I don't feel a satisfaction when players are getting hurt out there and not playing and having a way to make a living, especially in the NFL, where, you know, heck, like life, tomorrow's not promised to you, should be the main, you know, should be a model of the NFL. It's not at any given play, you could be done in the NFL. So, but now we're hearing today, Micah, that Saquon Barkley left practice. When you're looking at the Giants, you're looking at that offensive line, how they try to upgrade. And again, there's so many question marks, in my opinion, surrounding the New York Football Giants more than any team actually in the NFC East. Is Eli back? Can Eli get back to where he was? Will Saquon Barkley be that? What's going on with Odell Beckham? What's actually going on with the defense who got scores? That offensive line, if not for the Seattle Seahawks, was the worst line in all of football last year, Micah. Well, how are the Giants with this going on, if he's injured longer or not, probably just a precautionary reason, taking him out of practice. How you look at the Giants moving forward into this year, Micah?
Well, let me tell you something. The first thing you said was
well, let me tell you something, brother.
Saquon Barkley. Just saying. Let me tell you something, brother. No, but seriously, you hit the nail on the head when you said that they were done for taking Saquon Barkley. Not from the standpoint that he's not a quality player. They won't that the offense will improve with him.
I think
either
a quarterback, a running back, a dime a dozen.
They should have got their facts. They should have gotten themselves a quarterback. They missed on Eli's replacement because, first of all, Eli has never been good. Let's just call a spade what it is. Eli has never been, as much as people as New York Giants fans love the fact that he's the only guy outside of your quarterback Nick Foles to beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl and beat him convincingly or at least with some kind of special way of beating him. I mean, the brother's trash overall, especially in comparison to his brother. Okay, so he's not even a top tier quarterback. He's never been a top tier quarterback during a regular season. Something happens to that boy when he gets
it. Let me make you laugh for a second. Jay Chris, remember when those years went by when I kept trying to say I would take Eli over Peyton in the fourth quarter? Remember them years?
I do remember that, yes. I remember it vividly.
Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
It would have made more sense if you say you take Eli over Peyton in the playoffs. That would have made more sense. That would have made a lot more sense, but no, man. I mean, look, some of the deficiencies.
Quarter and stuff, not like overall. Nah. Overall, I think third best.
Yeah, these are facts. But one of the things that's worth pointing out is that a lot of the reasons why the defense was getting destroyed like it was last year, it wasn't that they didn't necessarily have talent or a good scheme. It was that they were on the field forever. They were always on the field because the offense was stagnant. Because Eli didn't realize there was other wide receivers he could have threw to other than Odell Beckham, who was hurt. And he just, like, totally tuned out. You know, Odell Beckham, like, the whole thing about the Giants organization and the whole thing about the Cowboys organization is drama, okay? So their issues as far as those two teams are concerned is just drama. Redskins and Eagles don't have any drama. Theirs is just making sure that they just get through training camp and get through preseason healthy. And they're going to come to the table if they come to – I'm not even worried about the Redskins. I think the Redskins are going to finish second in the division, really, honestly. That's just my opinion. But you know, the Giants have very little to worry about when it comes to this season. Eli's going to suck like he always does. He's going to be marginal. He's going to be bailed out several times. By the way, here's something I wanted to ask you and everybody on the panel. You know, we already know we talk about a guy named Kyle Turd. I mean, Hurd, excuse me. And he has this thing about wide receivers. What are your thoughts about the concept that wide receivers do not equate or translate to wins? Because as much as Odell Beckham has been fantastically talented, he hasn't really translated to as many wins for his team being the guy who gets 100 yards. If he gets 100 yards, he has to translate it. Julio Jones and Antonio Brown, a little bit different. But
I read a stat about that a few years ago, too, about guys who are – because they say that he forces – that Eli forces him the ball. And although he – you know, what we see from him is great. You know what I mean? But
yeah. –
For some reason, doesn't equate to wins. Maybe they're forcing it to him too much, like you just said. There's that a lack of trust in these other receivers. I'm not a big fan of Chris Carter, period, especially after the comments of Terrell Owens and things like that. But he did make a good point about when was the last time a great receiver came out of the University of Oklahoma, right? So you look at this team.
That's true.
For the Giants, they do have a lot of question marks surrounding them. But me personally, I think last year we picked them to be second in this division. I got them with you, Mike. I kind of think they're going to finish third or last right now behind Washington. I'm not ready to go off what the Cowboys can do. I don't like to admit it, but the Cowboys, to me, if with all intents and purposes, being healthy, can finish second in this division.
Well, let me blind tag real quick. I'll put it in this perspective for people, because we all hate the Cowboys to a certain extent, different levels of hate. But all of us, if we have a chance to punch a cowboy in the face and not have to get charged or get fought back, we'll do it. The thing about the Cowboys that really sticks you off.
Except for
Kate
Vaughn,
720
on the Twitter. We're not going to punch
him. Oh,
you.
Yeah, him, yeah. The sports terrorist. Yeah, him. What should really make us mad is for those people who are NFC East fans. Is that the Cowboys beat everybody last year and had the winning record of the division, and they weren't at full strength last year. They had drama, distractions off the field with Zeke. They didn't have their offensive line, the best offensive line in the league, quote unquote, best offensive line in the league, right? The last few seasons until the Eagles came along with that Super Bowl run. Fantastic, good job, guys. You know, they were hurt and they were injured. So you're telling me with injuries to the best offensive line, their star running back, who pretty much equates to a lot of wins for them, especially the last few seasons that he was playing, you're telling me that they still beat you in the division with a 5-1 record? That's a problem coming into this year, because now they realize they can beat you without having full strength. So what are they going to do now that they have everything? Are they going to go 6-0 in the division? I mean, if it wasn't for your Eagles having a better record, then we would have seen the Cowboys hosting the playoff game because they have the better division record.
I'm sorry, you lost me on that part. The Cowboys, how would they have been in this race?
The Cowboys have an opportunity to be in first place in the division this year. They won 9 games
this year.
Y'all had more games than them. Y'all won more games than them, but they still had a 5-1 division record. So what I'm saying is that if they did that without having full strength, what is that going to happen and translate for
that
y'all
last,
as Eagles fans this year?
Like they told us the year before when we lost to them at home and we beat them at home that year when they won the division. No, that last win doesn't count. It was the last game of the season.
It's the Cowboys and Eagles. It's the Cowboys and Eagles in the division this time, and because we'll get into it later, but because of the hunger that certain players on your team, Mike, and your team, Chris, there's certain players that didn't get a chance to do that Super Bowl last year. They didn't win it. They were part of the team that won it. They know reasons why they got there and got that far, but they weren't there to beat up on Tom Brady.
I am not, and thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for taking out my soundbite, going to stand here and listen to this baloney, okay? My kids have never had baloney, so I'm not going to listen to this baloney, okay, and that nonsense. Okay, but you just spewed out of your mouth like your quarterback, Andrew, he's running out of luck, has shown. But let's get real fast into some scores in the NFL over the preseason. We had Carolina at Buffalo, which was a great matchup just for the simple fact of you may not like him. Hell, sometimes he may be a little childish. But Cameron Newton approaching Kelvin Benjamin to me was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in the NFL.
I loved
absolutely thought it was boss. You got something to say about me? I'm right here, dog. Like, really? I'm right here. Kept his hands behind his back.
I'm not gonna
smack you.
Look the man.
He actually went to shake his hand too. He actually went to shake his
he
hand.
Did.
And Kelvin wouldn't do it. Kelvin wouldn't do it.
Look at his eyes. Look at that man.
Look at his eyes. He didn't want that smoke. I just thought that was one of the best things I've seen in the NFL. Then we had Cincinnati over Chicago, New Orleans, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay over Miami, Cleveland, which all the talk was around Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor. How short of a leash is he on with Baker playing this good? And I just want people out there to understand this. It's still preseason, and Baker didn't play against starters. He played against guys that will be back at Walmart in a few weeks. You know, maybe back at Amazon's storage facility. Who knows, right? But I still like Baker. I'm one of the people that say I believe in Baker. I didn't mind Cleveland, drafting Baker Mayfield. Just thought he'd have been there at number four if that was your case. You could have got Saquon Barkley. But they feel, hey, we got another running back in Chubbs later in the second round that year. Great running back from University of Georgia. Eagles lose to Pittsburgh. Baltimore selects the Rams. New England, of course, beats the Washington Redskins. So forth. What we had in choice: Kansas City versus Houston. Dallas loses to San Francisco. Like I said, the return of Andrew. He did not run out of luck over at Seattle. The Jets blanking the Atlanta Falcons. The return of Chucky to the sideline, beating Detroit. Denver and Minnesota, and a lot of talking about that game, about Case Keenum and what he had to show versus that team. And a lot of people got to say this as well. He did play against his old team, so the center old team know how to beat him, right? Then Arizona beating the Los Angeles Chargers. But all that being said, the NFL is back. Watching preseason games to me was amazing. I watched as many games as I could watch. Even on the NFL network, as they replayed the games, I found myself just watching these football games, watching Kansas City, wanted to see what the
You're actually watching the NFL, Mike? Why in the world would you do such a thing? Why in the world is such an atrocity being made? You're watching a product that enfranchises people.
I got Madden too. So what's your point?
I'm just checking.
Okay. Listen, I'm not gonna get into that right now. So, but all that being said, your blind tag really threw me off a little bit there because I really thought she was going somewhere else. You were going to that route, which I understood it, so I caught it like a boomerang is right back at you. But the NFL is back. It's exciting. It's time to get back into some things. And I want to break down, normally by now we go by division, guys. I want to just break down the whole NFC right now. Wins, losses. I'm going to give you the over, under for this year. You tell me over or under, okay? So starting off, and the NFC West, the Arizona Cardinals last year won 8 games. This year, their over-under is 5.5. Jay Chris, 5.5 for the Arizona Cardinals.
Over. I'm going over 5.5. I still think their defense is pretty good. And they got Sammy Sleeves now, so I'm going over 5. Over 5.5, excuse me.
Wally?
I'm with Jay Chris. We're going over. David Johnson's band, Bradford's better. Better than most of the quarterbacks they had last season. They won like 7 games last year. They're underrated. They're highly underrated. I'm going over.
Micah, over under the 5.5 of the Arizona Cardinals.
No, yeah, it makes sense, man. It's going over. You can't just deny defense and the talent that they have at running back. So all you gotta do is make sure Sam Bradford stays upright for at least 5 plays and you'll win some games.
I'm actually going even. That's 5.5 or 6 games. Right. So I'm going actually with that number. Bradford can never stay healthy long enough to do anything.
Help me understand this. Mm-hmm. If you're going since it's 5.5, you're saying 6.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't.
Well, I thought you were going to say 5 games in a tie.
Well, no. But you're looking at. Am I wrong? When we look at point spreads, right? 2.5 is 3 points, right? So it's not over under the same. Am I wrong in that approach?
No, you're absolutely right. I'm trying to understand what it
okay.
is.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm going with that. I think that's a good number for Arizona. I don't think defense can win games, and we know defense wins championships. Just ask Brandon Graham and Tom Brady off that sack fumble. So we know that happens. Yeah, I had to throw that in there. Always will throw that in there because we're a Super Bowl champions. Okay. Can't say we don't have a ring anymore. All right. Moving on. The Atlanta Falcons, 10 games last year. Vegas has them dropping a game going into 9 games, Micah. Over or under for the Atlanta Falcons at 9?
Man, that's a hard one. Man, tough division. I want to go even. I think they're 9. I think they're straight 9. Because Sarkisian just ain't gonna work. It's just he's it's something weird about college. I think he's a really, really good coach, especially on the offensive side of the ball. In the NFL, I mean, either your concepts work or they don't. And I mean, you got Julio Jones and you have Matt Ryan, and your touchdown ratio goes down with your offensive schemes. Yeah, I'm gonna go 9. I'll go even.
I'm going to go over and give them 10 wins. As I'm looking at the over-unders for the AFC South, they have this division. It's the tightest division in football as far as win-loss ratios are concerned. I think with this offense, it started to click during the second half, and I think with new offensive coordinators coming in, you have to get some kind of continuity of what you're doing and understanding the playbook. And I believe Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, he's better known as in the tri-state area, is a smart quarterback. I'm not thinking he's the greatest quarterback. I think he's a very intelligent quarterback. I like Atlanta and this division, if not possibly to win this division and steal it away from New Orleans or Carolina. What about you there, Mike? Jay Chris. Over under is 9. They're taking a game back from last year's Vegas has them. They won 10 last year.
So the over-under is 9 straight up for them?
9. Straight up, 9.
And they're playing in the NFC South. They got to play Carolina twice. They got to play New Orleans twice. I'm going with the under. I mean, it's hard to say that because, you know, I'm thinking they're a hungry team, right? They lost in the Super Bowl and then they lost in the playoffs last year.
28-3. That's what I call them.
By a fingertip, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to think that they got to be hungry right now. But I just don't think that they're going to overcome that this season. I see Atlanta going winning probably 8. I think they'll be an 8-8 team coming out of that tough division.
Boy, Ray would hate me. I'm going over. Would hate me, but I said under. So I'm going over.
Sorry, Ray.
I would do that too, right? And I like the draft pick of Ridley. I think Ridley's gonna do wonders for Julio Jones. So
yeah.
They'll be a better offense too. So I'm gonna go over.
I think they have one of the best receiving corps in football if this guy Ridley actually you know, plays the way we think he's gonna play. You know what I'm saying? So with Ridley, with Julio, with Sanu, them boys are tight end away from being very, very scary out there.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina Panthers, with a half game under, which is still 9. So sometimes when you're looking at these things, like I said, it's a tight division. The Carolina Panthers won 11 games last year. They haven't taken a huge dip this year at 8.5 games. Wallace, since I left off with you, I'm going to start off with you. 8.5 for the Carolina Panthers.
I'm gonna go over. I think you'll have Luke Kuechly will probably play most of the season this year. I think that, and this is gonna be Thomas Davis' last year. I think that he's retiring after this season, so they're gonna play. They'll be motivated. I think they're going over. I think Cam is motivated. I like that Christian McCaffrey's gonna get. He's gonna be highlighted. He's not gonna be sharing carries like he did last year. So he'll get an extended role. So I like Carolina. I got them going over.
Micah.
That 8 is disrespectful. They're going to win at least 10 games. They play the Saints very well. They play Atlanta very well. Tampa Bay is an easy 2 roll over, and their schedule doesn't look like that. It's going to cause them much difficulty. I can give them at least 10 wins and a possible wild card. Come on.
I actually got them at 8-8, to be honest. I didn't see a lot of them doing a lot in the offseason. I've said last year I'm going to stay with it, being highlighted or not. I don't believe in McCaffrey. It's just I'm still waiting for I'm just putting it out there, okay? This is being real. This is real radio. This is the barbershop. I've never seen a great white running back in the NFL. Why am I supposed to be led to believe now that that can be achievable? I didn't like the that draft pick for them. I didn't like
Mike
the fact
Allstott
they got rid of
man
Kelvin
for like
Benjamin.
2.5 years.
Yeah, Mike Allstott was also a fullback. Okay, that was translated into
a
running back.
That's a running back. That's a running back.
Okay. Okay, he's no Lorenzo. Allscott to me wasn't Lorenzo Neal. Okay, so for me, I thought Allscott was overrated, and it probably, not probably, absolutely, positively the worst Madden cover athlete in the history of Madden football. So there you have that one. So since you jumped in there, Jay Chris, over under for the Carolina Panthers, 8.5.
I'm going to have to take Super Cam and the Newtons. Like, you're probably going to be surprised, but I'm taking the under on that. I don't think it's going to be their year. Yeah, I mean, I'm not usually there with the Carolina Panthers. I'm usually high on them. That's my second favorite team in the league, I guess, right now. But I'm going with the under. I'm taking Atlanta with the under, and I'm taking Carolina with the under. So somebody's got to be coming out on top, right?
That's what I say too. I agree. I got the under with them as well. Dallas Cowboys featured at 9-game wins last year. Got them back in Vegas at 9 wins again this year. I want to say slightly over. I want to give them 10 wins, but I'm going to stay up to 9. And that might be the hate inside of me. I don't believe in Dakota. Just don't. Other than that, I don't believe in the secondary of this team. I think this team's strength is offensive line, it's running back, and it's defensive line. Other than that, I don't believe in the Dallas Cowboys. I got them with the even. I'm gonna have some grapefruits. I'm going to be under for the Dallas Cowboys at 8-8 this year. And I still, you know, if I'm wrong, it's only a game. So I'm going 8-8 with the Dallas Cowboys. And this, we already know that King Vaughn Jr. 720 on Twitter says the over. He probably has them picking to win in the division, probably winning 13 to 15 games. But Dakota's in the couch and he's sinking very slowly. What you got with this one, Wally Wow? Is it 0-16? You definitely got the under, right? I don't even know why I asked you that question. When he came
just a smart guy. So I'm so under. It's not even funny. I think they're going to struggle with losing other than like Dez. Losing Dez, that's whatever. But losing Jason Witten is going to hurt. Like, I don't think people talk about that loss because of what he brings to the team in terms of a security blanket. And then defensively, yeah, they have guys who, you know, they've always played over their means, but their secondary is a question mark. The defensive line is pretty good and stout in terms of rushing the passer, but they're not one of the stout defensive lines stopping the run. Mm-hmm. So when you look at this team, I don't look at them as anything special. So it's going to be a lot on Dak and Zeke. They have to be special. And, you know, again, if Zeke doesn't play well, there's going to be games that Zeke won't get 100 yards. That's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. So if Zeke doesn't get 100 yards, then now you're putting all that onus on Zach to throw to who? Like, who's the number one? That's a question mark, too. So at the end of the day, this team isn't – you can't say this Dallas Cowboy team off the talent alone is good enough to be automatically good enough to be winning over, like, 9 games. You can't do that.
I got you. Micah, over under for the America's former team, the Dallas Cowboys, at 8.5.
Even though Dakota may be sinking further and further into the armchair, he, just like my quarterback of my Colts, is one of the few people that started as a rookie and has always had a winning record in his first few seasons as he started.
Don't confirm
that. First of all, you're wrong. You know you're wrong because you know I ain't even comparing him to the arm talent and intellect of one of Andrew Luck.
When you say Andrew,
you already know I'm not comparing him. You know I hate Dallas as much as you do.
Don't put them in the same sentence.
I'm going to have to because we have to be real. We're going to have to because we're going to
have
to be
real. Andrew put to AFC Championship game. Don't act with nobody. Don't do that to Andrew.
That's fine. But we're going to have to be real. We're going to have to be real about the regular season. I ain't talking about the playoffs. I'm just talking about regular season. So Andrew Luck, right? Y'all know Andrew Luck had a 33-15 record, right? Dak Prescott has a record that is trending similar in that direction when it comes to his wins over losses over the course of his first 3 seasons at the helm of being the Cowboys quarterback. And I'm trying to tell you, the brother's going to win double-digit games this year. It's going to be at least 10 games. They're going to be fighting for that spot with the Eagles for the number one seed for the division win. I think the Eagles are going to take the division, but Dallas going to make the hell to pay for to make them work for it. So Dallas is going to win more than They're going to win at least 10 games. I'm taking over.
Jay Chris, over under Dallas Cowboys 8.5.
I'm gonna. you know, bias aside, you know, I was thinking, I was really thinking that the Cowboys could win more than 8 games. I just can't see how they win more than 8 games. I know they were supposed to be a tough team last year with the loss of Jason Witten hurt, and the fact that, you know, the Eagles swooped in like they swooped on their prey and stole mm-hmm. Dallas Goedert right from the clinches of the Cowboys. It's tough, and you know, they don't have that safety blanket for Dak. So, you know, the Cowboys always seem to figure something out 20 years later. But I think eight games sounds about right, but I don't want to take the even route. So I'm going to say that they're going to win. I think they'll win 9 games this year, and they're playing the last place schedule or close to it. So I think they'll win 9 games. So I'll take the over.
Well, that's what the over is actually is exactly that. So it's 8.5, right? That's how we count it. So 9.5.
I'm taking nine games. I'm taking the over.
All right. Since Wally won't say it anymore, I will always say it. The Packers of Green Bay won 7 games last year. So the Packers of Green Bay this year, Vegas loves the baddest man on the planet, Aaron Rodgers. Got to win in 10 games in that division, where I feel that it's still just a 2-division race between the Packers of Green Bay and the Vikings. 10 games in that division. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, I give him the 10 games there, Jay Chris. What you got?
Yeah, healthy Aaron Rodgers will always get the over for me. You know, I think he's probably the baddest man in the league. So I don't even know what that number is. I didn't hear what you said. So I'm taking the over.
10.
Oh, yeah. Taking the over. Absolutely.
Taking it over. Wally, real fast. 10, over, under?
I got under.
Ooh. The Packers of Green Bay, he does not like them. Micah, 10 games, over, under? Packers.
Even. Even. It's going
to
be
Mike
even.
Mike to 10. Rams, 11 games last year. Vegas has them at 10 this year. I'm going with the over for the Rams. I think they're the third, second, or first best team in this division in the NFC. I'm sorry. I think it's a 3-team race in the NFC between the Vikings, the Eagles, and the Rams. Of course, everybody being healthy considering. They have them at 11 wins from last year, 10 this year. I'm going over for them, Micah. How you got the Rams? Over, under 10.
Oh, the Rams are going over 10. What are you talking about? They win that division. That's over.
Okay. Jay Chris, over, under 10 for the Rams.
Oh, and yeah, in that division, I'm going over.
Wally, wow. Over, under, 10 wins for the Rams. Oh,
over. They're like the most talented team on paper. Over.
Yeah, on paper. They are a dream team.
On,
right?
Like,
let's say
paper.
Dream team so that we
oh, yeah,
can flop. Right? Dream team. Dream team.
Yeah.
Dream team.
Yeah.
Right? Peters, Vikings.
Peters to leave.
Yeah, there's too many.
Jeez.
When they got him, I was so mad. I wanted the Eagles to get him so bad. I was like, please get me. And now I can't. He would fit so well in Philadelphia. He can kick somebody in the nuts all he wants to here. We wouldn't care. So we're about 11 wins. The Vikings last year won 13 wins with Case Keenum. They got to win in 10 this year. Why does Vegas have them taking a step back? This is where you have the question.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas, are they trying to steal your money or are they trying to give you money? Personally, I think Vegas is trying to steal your money having the Vikings win 10 games. Are they over hyping what Aaron Rodgers can do? I'm with Jay Chris. Aaron Rodgers, 10 wins. It's like LeBron in L.A. They're going to win 50-plus games. But Minnesota's really damn good. Minnesota, 10 wins, over, under, Jay Chris. I got them over.
Yeah, I think they were a little overachievers last year. I mean, they are a good team. Don't get me wrong. I think they overachieved a bit. 10 games, damn you again, Vegas. I'm going to take the under on that.
Wow. Wally, you chimed in. Over, under Vikings, 10.
Yeah, I go over. I mean, defense still is one of the better defenses in football. So, I mean, and then they're getting cooked back too. Yeah, they're getting Dalvin cooked back too. So, they have a problem. They have a serious problem.
Serious problem. Micah, over 10 wins for the Vikings.
Yeah, Minnesota's going over 10 wins. It's just they have the better team and they have the best team in that division, so they're going to be over 10.
Mm-hmm.
And just FYI, The Vegas only has five teams. That means the Packers. We're talking about, I'm sorry, six teams. The Packers, the Vikings, the Rams,
what?
The Patriots, the Eagles, and the Steelers are the only teams they have over 10 wins or 10 wins and over from Vegas. Moving on from the Vikings, going back to the NFC South, the Saints, I'll tell you, this division is tight. They got them at 9.5. They have the Saints winning the division in the NFC South. I'm not too sure. I'm really high on Drew Brees.
I don't know about that.
I just feel that the Falcons, I think, you know, like we say all the time on the show, and we know in real life when it comes to the NFL, there's always that team that just surprises us. I think that was the Saints last year. So
I think
this division really belongs to the Falcons to lose. That's, I don't know. I just like that. I like that offense. I like what they're doing on defense over there with Trufant and that crew. Saints over under 10.5 wins. I got to go under. And it's just, I'm going with the 9 on this one. I believe in them. I think it's the tightest division in the NFL is this division here. I'm going with 9 for the Saints. I'm going under 9.5, Jay Chris, over under 9.5 for the Saints.
Hey, I took Carolina and Atlanta to go under, so I got to take the Saints to go over, and they win the division. So I'm going over with the Saints.
Micah, over under Saints, 9.5.
Saints are winning the division. Go over.
Wally Wild?
Under Saints. I think Atlanta wins the division. I think the Saints ever – you get the Saints always peak every other year, and this might be the year they kind of go down. So they do this every year. They do this every in football, every other year, and they like – Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Atlanta to win the division. But I'm going under.
I do have the burden of saying that almost every city I've visited that year, that NFL team does really good. I was in New Orleans this year for WrestleMania, so I still wouldn't be under. However, in that one, that trend breaks this year. Giants in this division in NFC East, they have them 3 wins last year. We all know they have them jumping 7 games this year. I give the Giants 7 games. I'm going to even on this one, Jake. Chris. Over under for the Giants at 7.
That's fair.
Wow, that's tough. I think they go over. I think Saquon Barkley, it makes a big difference this year for them. So I'm taking over 7.
You know this ain't true, but I hate you for saying that. I don't want Saquon Barkley to be anything. Wally Wow, 7 wins, over under for the Giants.
Saquon Barkley will be the truth. But I think they're going under. It's Eli. It's Eli. It's going to be an arrogant thing. They're going to try to make Eli throw the ball instead of giving Saquon Barkley the ball all the time.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's going to be ego. It's going to be ego thing. So that's what it is. So the Giants under. Yeah.
See, here's the thing. I like what you said there because Saquon is the – him and Ezekiel Elliott in this division is going to be problems for years, right? I really do believe that. So moving on from the Giants as they moved on from each other. Eagles, over under 10.5 win for the Super Bowl champions. I'm going to go even with this one, Jay Chris, at 11 wins. I actually want to go over. I think they win the division at 10 games, to be honest. I'm not happy with the injuries. We might not have Carson Wentz starting the year, although we know what the MVP of the Super Bowl can do. Alshon Jeffries might not be there. They're playing a first-place schedule as opposed to a last-place schedule, although we know that last-place schedule last year turned out to be a first-place schedule when you looked at the teams they played and where they finished in the NFL outside of the San Francisco 49ers. Okay, the Eagles have a really hard time this year, starting on a Thursday night game against Atlanta without your quarterback, without your running back, and perhaps without one of your stars on defense, Jay Chris. Eagles over under, who I do have winning the division, but they're at 11. I'm going under with the Philadelphia Eagles and just winning 10 games this year, Jay Chris.
No, I see them winning 11 or maybe even 12, so I'm definitely going with the over on this one. I think they win 12 games, so if I say 11, I'm definitely taking the over without a doubt. I say 11 games, I can see them winning 12, so that's what it looks like for me. 13, I don't think it's going to happen again.
And, Micah, did I skip you with the Giants over under at the 7? I apologize.
Oh, I mean, you did, but I was paying attention.
Okay. Okay.
I was waiting, I was like, it's the Giants. And look, everything I was going to say about the Giants, Wally already said. So, I mean, no point in repeating.
Okay. Over under, though. 7 or under?
Oh, I mean, it's Eli Manning. So, the fact is, they're probably going to go 8-8, and it's going to make a lot of people real mad. They're probably going to go 8-8. I'll take the over.
Since I got you, Eagles, over under 10.5.
Oh, your Eagles going to be over because Doug Peterson is still the head coach and he has fantastic hair, and Carson Wentz when he comes back, if Carson Wentz, when he comes back, is going to have a fire under his hompas because he was the de facto MVP last year. So,
hey,
yeah.
In Philadelphia from 1992, we know we had the song Bring It Home for Jerome. I think this year's motivation is one more for Wentz. Ovania. So I'm with that. And they signed Christian Hackenberg. Am I the only person that likes that? I don't know, but I okay, moving on. I'm a Hackenberg.
I'm a Hackenberg.
I know he probably won't make the team, but I loved him at Penn State, and I thought he was going to be a great pro. I was completely wrong about that, like I was completely wrong about Kevin Durant.
No, it wasn't his fault, though, but it wasn't his fault. He fell into a trap known as the New York Jets. The only worst place that Christian Hackenberg could have went to is anywhere Jeff Fisher was the head coach.
Okay, Jeff Fisher is gone.
The only thing that makes me wonder about that, I wonder if Foles is going to be on the move. Like, why sign Christian Hackenberg for what?
I don't think Foles is going anywhere. And I know I've been hearing rumors about that. I'm here right now to tell you I don't believe that at all. And I haven't got that from anywhere. It's just a feeling around the organization and what he did for this organization. And then what he wrote in his book talking about Nick Foles, I think he's okay with where he's at. And I think people have to look at what a backup is supposed to do. And Nick Foles did exactly that. Case Keenum did exactly that. Just Case Keenum's time ran out with what a backup does. A backup's job is to play four or five games if needed. He had to play the whole season. So with Nick Foles, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He played five games. He played four of those games very good. So 49ers and Seahawks and Buccaneers. Starting real fast, we got five teams left in the NFC. So we got Buccaneers at seven games. They won five last year. They got them at seven this year, Jay Chris, over under real fast. I got them going even. I got them at six games. I think Packers, that's under then. I got them six games for the Packers.
If not for the suspension, this would definitely be an over. So I got to take the under. I think Winston getting suspended hurts.
Yeah, and that's why I got him at the under as well. Wally, wow, 6.5 for the Buccaneers.
Over.
Okay. Over. This division is super tight. Then, I'm just curious. I'm loose on trying to get the other. I want to talk to some other things real fast, but why you got them finishing? I'm curious.
Oh, Tampa. I have Tampa. I have Tampa in the middle. I have them third or second. I think I like what they did defensively. I like what they did.
Okay.
I like what they did in the draft, the kid from Washington, and then getting Paul from the Giants. I think their pass rush is going to be amazing.
Well, I do like Vinny Curry over there. That's for damn sure. It hurts my heart to see him there, but nothing hurts my heart more to see Michael Kendricks in a Cleveland Browns uniform. Over under Buccaneers there, Micah.
Wally got some serious faith, man. I'm going under.
Yeah, he does. Seattle, eight games, over under. I got them over. I think Seattle's still Seattle. Now I'm lying my butt off. I just couldn't even fake it no more. Seattle's 8-18, guys. I agree with Vegas on this one. What you got them with, Micah?
Seattle is definitely 8-18. Pete Carroll's still the head coach, so yeah.
Jay Chris, over under eight.
Over under, I'm going with the over. I'm going with the over. I think they'll struggle with the Niners and fight with the Cardinals, but I'm going over.
Wally Wild.
And they got the Rams, too. They're under. That division got tough. They're under. That division got tough.
They got San Francisco at nine, over under. I'm going with the even with that San Francisco with the nine wins, Wally. Over under the nine wins for San Francisco.
Under. I think they're a little overly hyped right now. Under.
Okay. Under. Wally? Jay Chris?
I also think they're a little overhyped, too. I'm going with the under. They're probably an 8-win team at the most.
Yeah,
that's what I'm buying. Hype, like I buy in a CM Punk coming back to the WWE. Micah, over under the 49ers at nine wins.
I don't think they're an 8-win team. I think Garoppolo puts them that one game over. I'm going with Vegas. I'm keeping that to nine. I'll break even on that one.
Yeah, that's me too. Last team on the list. Our home station, Washington Redskins, finished last year with seven. They haven't finished again this year with seven, Wally. I'm going to go with the over in this division. I think they're like certain teams in this division being Dallas, being the Giants, being Washington, are just so many question marks. So I'm going to go 8-8 with Washington this year. I'm going to go with the over, Jay Chris. What you got for the Washington Redskins?
What's the number? I'm sorry. I was stretching.
Seven.
What's the number? Seven for the Skins. Man, Skins are always so funny, man. Give me the over for the Skins.
That's what I have as well. Micah, over under for the Skins.
Alex Smith puts them over for the Skins.
You like Alex Smith Bird, and you like the Magic Man, Kirk Cousins. And Wally, this is your team. You know them deeply, in and out. Pause. How you got the Redskins?
Over. I like what they brought to the team, but defensively, I love their defensive acquisition, so I'll go over.
All right. There you have it for our NFC. Real fast, like I said, we're going to pick winners and losers later. Best three teams in the NFL or in the NFC to me are the Eagles, the Vikings, the Rams, and you can flip-flop the Vikings and Rams and you know, all three of those teams, in my opinion, can be the best team in the NFL between those three teams right there. Coming in behind it, I just really like Atlanta. I just think what we saw last year, they started clicking late last year. It was a very dumb play call, and I thank them for making a rolling out, shortening the field like that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but besides that, I like what they did with Ridley. I just think their offense is just going to be with Freeman. It's just going to be very, very potent on offense. But I think those are the best four teams in the NFC. Of course, you got to sprinkle in Aaron Rodgers if he's there and Drew Brees as long as they're still around. But those are the best four teams in the NFC East, or NFC, I'm sorry, for me. But we know we got to talk about this, guys, as we leave from the NFL. And there's so much power in the NFL. You have to talk about Power TV and our power rankings. I never took a straight path nowhere. Life's full of twists and turns, bumps and bruises. I live, I learn. I'm from that city. Yeah, when you hear that song come on, my wife tweets it out every Sunday morning. This is a big rich town. You know what time it is. And on Power Mondays, right here on the Soul and Sports, Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, BDSR Networks, powered by New Twist Radio. I just made that up because you're in effect. And frankly, if you're not with the urban sports scene, you don't know what you're doing either. So, Power TV, guys. And I text you guys or, you know, DM'd you guys. What the hell do you call it on Facebook? Inboxed you guys early Sunday morning and said to me, Kanan was the MVP of this show. Now, not my words. It was my wife's words, but I was thinking it. She just said it before me. But, you know, we're married 20 years together, telekinesis. This has been Kanan's plan from the beginning. You took my son. I'm going to take your son. You put me in jail, I want my money. And he's coming for everything. And in this week's episode, all that started to align right there. Kanan, to me, just completely was everything in this episode. He's getting the connect. He took out just so much going on. Kanan, 50 Cent's character, for those who don't know, speaking about Micah, was the chess scene. With him and Tyrese. Was very, very, very intricate in this episode and what's going to take place next week as he's trying to now make him a murderer. What's happening in Power right now? And I had some people on Twitter saying they thought this year's Power or season of Power was like the worst ever. And I'm like, fans always like the glitter and glance. Like, it's like, you know, you go to WrestleMania or you're a wrestling fan or whatever it is you like. You like the introduction. You like Puffy because of what Puffy can do. But what was Bad Boy's substance? Right? Whereas Rockefeller had substance to it. Power this year has substance. The writing, the development of the characters to me, I'm really loving this season. We got Tasha. I guess she didn't put it down all the way right. Or the ghost really did scare the Ralph Lauren of the show. And he takes a bath and he runs. He's gone. Right? You can have U.S. Polo. I'm sorry. You can have the real one. The U.S. Polo guy left. Right? All this taking place. Tommy getting dumb. His mother, I thought, played. And Jay Chris. You didn't put her in your top. I think she should be in the top five. I think what Tommy's mother did this week's episode was very important. Her showing up. If Tommy cannot wake up out of this and realize that his mother is onto something, then he's the dumb guy that we know that he's not. We know Tommy always comes through in the clutch. Tommy needs to wake up because your mother's onto something, Jay Chris. My Power four, right? We're supposed to be in four, but Jay Chris has it on the YouTube page on the New Twist Show Radio. He has his power 10. Because to keep the show into a small area, I got my power four. I'm going Tommy's mom. I'm going Teresi. I'm going
I'm sorry, I had it wrote down. I don't have it with me right now. I got Ghost. I got Tommy's mother. I got Teresi, because what he did was dupe. That murder scene was crazy. Okay, I got Tariq at number two, and number one this week is Kanan with a very strong honorable mention this week for Ghost. If I had a power five, but that's a power four, but that's my power five. Jay Chris, your thoughts on the show, and go ahead and give me your power four or your ten, because you got the radio. You got the YouTube show.
Well, I'll give you the four. You know, if you want to check out the 10, just check out my video on YouTube under my regular name, Justin Watson, my government given name and my parental given name. But my thoughts on the show. First, I'm gonna talk about Tommy's mom. That scene, and she's very significant. She plays role right there. Very significant. However, in my eyes, that wasn't, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a power move. For her.
Whoa,
if
no?
anything, it could be a power no? move. It could be a power move for Tommy if he starts to realize something. But I don't think that's a power move for her, because in the grand scheme of things, she really has no power in the grand scheme of things. Okay?
But think about it. Think about your mom. The power of the PU, right? And we all come off the PU. Okay?
Yeah, when we're talking about power, we're talking about the significance of the power that they have. Only power that Tommy's mom has really is power over Tommy, and which can help elevate Tommy. But where does that really put the mom in the grand scheme of things? It doesn't really put her in the bigger.
Crediting the kryptonite from Superman, because that's what Tommy's mom is, right? Is she not kryptonite to Tommy? Can she not be red kryptonite for Tommy for Superman? I think Tommy's mom is important.
I think there's a new kryptonite for Tommy. I mean, Tommy, you know, Tommy loves his mother. I think there's a new kryptonite for Tommy. I think her name is Keisha.
No, because Keisha is stupid. Keisha can't even be real, because he's still, as my wife said, he's still wearing Holly on his neck. Keisha just
don't nobody know that, but
we all got disappointed when Keisha didn't show her boobs.
Nobody knows that but us, right? Because nobody knows Holly's dad but us and Tommy. Think about that.
Okay.
All right. So going to my four. All right. Let's go to the four. At number four, I got Tariq. All right. Tariq had and he's definitely making his way up to the top. He's making his power moves. I don't know. Everybody loves to hate Tariq, but the things that he's doing in the show, he's establishing his power. Number three, I got Teresi. I think Teresi is – we don't know where Teresi is right now. We really don't. But, you know, he's talking to these people, and he's talking to other people. He's making the moves he needs to make. But, you know, his wife, I think, got to him. I mean, if you put Tommy's mom in the power four, I think Teresi's wife got to be in there somewhere too. But, I didn't put either one of them in there.
I did wake up to Married to the Mob this morning. Classic movie.
John Mock last week I had at number one. This week he's at number two, because this week he didn't do anything to look particularly strong or weak, so I couldn't really drop him down too far. Okay. But you know, he better watch his back, right? And of course, I think everybody that watches this show should have Kanan at number one right now. The moves Kanan made in this show are, you know, he has to be on top right now. He's definitely establishing himself behind everybody's back. He's the number one power ranker right now, but does he have all the power yet? I don't know, but he's number one right now.
My Wally Wild, your thoughts on power and your power four?
So I'm gonna go in a different order. So one obviously is Kanan. He's number one. We saw he's making all the moves. He's playing chess and everybody's playing checkers.
Ain't that the truth?
I'm going to go with Ghost. I think Ghost is getting it back. He's getting the swag back. You know what I mean? He's taking over the councilman.
He can't be in the cop who he shaves.
I'm all about now getting the strength. He's in control again. Now he's in control. He's starting to think properly again. A little about, like, knowing that, you know, Kanan, I prefer Kanan to do the hit. Like, he's thinking ahead now. Now he's thinking ahead. Three, I'm going to go with Angela, the evilness, and I like the play. I like how she's becoming evil little by little. And I like how, you know what, she was thinking about using time to kill Mock. Yeah, she was using time that she's going to use. She was thinking about it. That she on the flip side, she had to think about it. Let me play the Mock's ego. I know he's not about trying to get me. He's about power. So let me feed him some power, and then maybe he'll be my spy. He'll be my snitch for me. Yeah, he'll be my snitch for me. And then four... I'm going to go with, I guess it would be Teressi. Four would be Teressi.
Now, you mentioned something in your script in your top four. You put Ghost. You know why I can't put Ghost so high for me? Because, and I like what you're saying, because to me, Ghost is what we, at least most of us, fall in love with, right? His character and how smart he is. How smart is he that he's looking, that he's losing his son to his mortal enemy, right? That was formerly his best friend. You're still dabbing him up. You're asking him to take out people for you, which that murder scene was great, by the way. He just came out the bathroom with a whoo-hoo was supposed to be and just went off. But Kanan character is just what it is. But he's losing Tyreek right before his eyes.
That's
you know what I mean?
And
it, you hate Tyreek so much. You cannot lose Tyreek. You can't, man. Like,
okay.
Come on.
All right. It's fine. You can lose Tyreek.
But
that's fine.
There you have the power four for the week, yo. Check out and by the way, J. Chris, you need to change that YouTube name to you can change it, brother. Go change that thing to New Twitch Show Radio. Or do you have a new, because you know that's what you know about.
I do have a New Twitch Radio page, but here's the thing. I tried to change it to New Twitch Radio before and it changed my email address, how you see me on the email and everything. So I got to figure something out with that. I definitely got to make some changes there, though. You're absolutely
holla
right.
At your boy. You know, you holla at your boy. I mean, you know, little procrastinatory. That's not a word, but I just made it up. So follow me if you can at Mike Knox on Twitter. But 3X, I already told you why. You already know why. Because I'm hardcore. But just, I got you. I got you, baby. I got you. Power four this week. Now, before we get into the best and worst of the weekend, we got to talk about it, guys. SummerSlam is this Sunday.
You talk about contenders. One team certainly in the forefront, none other than the Hart Foundation, Bret the Hitman Hart, and Jim the Anvil Neihart.
There are no other teams.
Pretty boy.
The time has come. The time is here.
It's now.
It's the Foundation.
We've already smashed out and disintegrated the little killer bees. That was easy, right, Hitman? And now, oh, it was easy. It was a piece of cake. And now, the little British pups.
Bulldogs.
Pups. Pipsqueak pups. Foreigners. Nobody messes with the Foundation. And the time has come. Right, Hitman?
And I'm going to say this much, as Bret Hart is my second favorite wrestler, however you want to put in 1A, 1.1, I've always put Shawn Michaels above him, Dusty Rhodes being my third favorite. Bret Hart cannot hold a candlestick on the microphone to one Jim the Anvil Neihart in his prime. You hear that in the promos. If you remember the Hart Foundation, it was Jimmy Anvil Neihart and Jimmy Hart that carried the promos of that team. Bret was always the better performer and wrestler, but man, Jimmy Anvil Neihart was the spirit of that tag team. And I want to make sure we honor him and remember him. And again, our shots go out to Natalya and the Neihart family and their loss. And just as wrestling fans, heaven has one hell of a pay-per-view right now. I mean, just the wrestlers that we have grown to love are just, you know, in heaven right now. And we talk about music in heaven. God has it all. I mean, we already know he has it all anyway, right? But now, the pay-per-view just keeps getting better, better, and better. And this weekend, it's SummerSlam. And we got SummerSlam on Sunday. We got Brooklyn NXT TakeOver as well on Saturday night. Cannot wait to see what Velveteen Dream does. But before all of that, we got the go-home show today. Tonight on Raw, will Brock Lesnar be in the building? We have a contract signing for the Intercontinental title, which right now, because of the controversy and the missing, you know, an act, if you will, of the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar and how the WWE has handled that situation, the Intercontinental Championship has been the what we've known as, you know, growing up, the stable mark. That is the stepping stone title. And right now, held by one who I'm a huge fan of, Paul's Dolph Ziggler, and the contract signing between him and Burn It Down Seth Rollins takes place tonight. What's going on with Ronda Rousey tonight? We have a triple threat for the tag team title as the B Team, which, by the way, if you don't like the B Team, you are missing what professional wrestling has always been about. Stuff like that, to me, it don't have to be long-term. This is what they used to say about not having a black world champion. We don't need to have Mark Henry or any other black champion be champion for 6-7 months. Just give them a title. What do you call it? A transitional title, Micah, for champions? Like, they're transitional champions, or are they? Right? But you got the Revival taking on the Revival, taking on the B team, and taking on Total Deletion. Right? Is that their name? Or is that the name of the pay per view? What the hell is the Wyatt family and or Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy's name, Micah? The Total Deletion?
It's the Leader of Worlds.
The Leader of Worlds. Okay, that's really stupid. And Renee Young to be a guest commentary for the full duration of Raw tonight, as I guess they're preparing her and for the all-women's pay-per-view coming up. And some people actually think, Micah, that the women's Evolution pay-per-view is sort of overshadowing SummerSlam. I'm one who don't believe that. SummerSlam is their second biggest show, I believe, with what's going on with Roman and Brock. What's surrounding, to me, Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. I was hoping for WrestleMania, but I'm cool with getting it for SummerSlam to take place. I think SummerSlam is a very good card so far and how it's being developed, and it still hasn't been fully developed on the card yet because I believe his tag team match will come out there. We got the New Day taking on the Bludgeon Brothers, which to me, I still wish the Usos would have been involved there. But tonight for Raw, man, it's not many times I'm excited for Raw. I'll actually watch Raw a lot on tape delay where I catch it like at 9 o'clock and fast forward. And yeah, I ain't going to lie, I watch Ratchet TV before that. But not tonight. Tonight, I will be playing Madden football, watching Raw live while we're getting ready for this go-home show tonight, Micah. Your thoughts for Raw, what you want to see, what's been going on in wrestling for you, how you feel about tonight's Raw and going into SummerSlam?
They did it, Mike. I didn't expect it to happen, you know, but last Monday, was something that I did not expect to happen. The entire crowd, maybe with the exception of two people, were unanimously chanting for Roman Reigns. Holy crap. I thought it was piped in sound at first, and then I realized, hold on, all these people are really, they really, really got on these last 2 weeks.
But they're going to be they're fake. Win or lose, which I think he loses on Sunday. Whoops. Spoiler alert, Brock Lesnar's not leaving WWE. Okay. What happens then? Because they're only cheering because – and they don't hate Brock. Y'all don't hate Brock. Y'all, you wrestling fans, I will until God takes me off this earth, I will rip you a new one. That's it.
No, but you're okay. Because they don't really hate Brock. They just hate the fact that he's just not there. Had Brock been there like once a month, had he been there once a month
– to be honest. Right.
That's all. Just once a month. Brock Lesnar once a month, once an appearance, talk trash, maybe have a match on Raw, a squash match and destroy the person, just let you know that, I'm still Brock. And then I think a lot of the guys will be satisfied, but because he's been on hiatus for so long, that's the reason why they push back. And that's why the reason why the crowd was pushing for Roman. Now, granted, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're behind him. I think they're more so – you don't know how they always try to make the excuse about Daniel Bryan. Is Daniel Bryan really over or is the chant over? Well, is Roman Reigns really over, or was it the fact that Brock Lesnar has held the title for so long that's the part that's getting over, that we can take the belt away from him now? There's pops. The pop for Brock Lesnar getting possibly stripped was louder than almost anything Roman Reigns has got. And then the follow-up pop to when Roman got kicked out the arena and Brock was choking down Paul Heyman. You know what? If Brock wins, that's a fantastic troll job by Vince. But it's also in a way where they can set up easily for Braun Strowman or Kevin Owens to win that title. And I personally, spoiler alert, expect Paul Heyman to do a turn. I'm expecting him to do a turn.
Is that really a spoiler alert? After the promo that some people are saying, Micah, and I'll definitely get Wally's opinion in this one because he's back to watching wrestling. People are saying, and I have to go back and watch it to be completely honest and fair to give my opinion, because from what I saw, I completely disagree. But when I hear people talk about, you know how I am, if I hear things, I'm like, maybe what am I missing? They're saying this Paul Heyman interview promo was next to the pipe bomb. Did I miss something? Was it that great? Because it didn't seem that great to me.
I mean, maybe for the realism that he showed. But see, what happened was that they cut the interview off, right? And they made you go to the WWE YouTube page to see the rest of it.
See, what makes it a really, really good promo is the cutoff part of the interview on WWE's YouTube page. Going there, you see that he talks about how Roman Reigns doesn't have a chance against Brock Lesnar, and then he says, unless, and then gets up and walks away. And Renee's like, unless what? Unless what? You know.
So I did like how he didn't shave. His hair looked frazzled. He looked scared. He looked damn near petrified.
Yeah, you know, he had the red eye dye. He had the red eye going on there.
Don't we expect Paul to turn on Brock? Or is that a
Well,
ruse?
After what
like,
they did for the last two, after they did for the last 3 weeks, I'm expecting it from the last 3 weeks of what he did. He really just did. I mean, they left that. They cut off the part where he said Roman Reigns can't beat Brock Lesnar unless. On purpose, and they put it on the YouTube channel on purpose to create the buzz that they were looking for something that possibly can happen. So Brock can still win even after Heyman turns, but Heyman doesn't have to turn on Brock during the match. He can turn on him when whoever has the Money in the Bank combination of just like with CM Punk, Brock, him, and let's just say Kevin Owens happens to outsmart Braun Strowman, and as that's believable because you can outsmart a dude who's just overpowering. So he outsmarts Braun Strowman. He pairs with Paul Heyman. It's a strong connection. Both can cut their own promos. Both can do things like advocate type work. Both can create an atmosphere. Because Punk was not a bad promo. You know, he didn't need Paul Heyman to cut in promos, but the combination of the scripted magic.
So what else besides the main event? Because we know Brock's and
Roman's
going to
be. That main
event's
going to be trash. I don't really care about that. The
main event's gonna
be trash. The AJ stuff, yeah, because I'm worried about. Most likely, if they do it, if they book it just like they did WrestleMania,
AJ,
I'm expecting this 45 spears, 1300 Superman punches, and 15 F5.
That is what.
AJ and Samoa Joe opens up this pay per view. I will damn near.
Oh, they did it on purpose, those bastards.
I will guarantee because you look. I listen to too many. Wrestlers and
we need to be down there in the
Commonwealth
Championship match.
You have to start off with something hot, and you're in New York, right? You're in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it has to
Everybody
be the IC match.
Both
the IC match or Joe.
One of those two, right? One of those two matches. But I'm gonna put my money on Joe, and them opens up their pay per view. But go back to what you just said, Micah. I disagree, man. I when you're watching something on the network, right? Not television anymore. Fans can kill something. I was in that building, and I hated the main event, not because what I couldn't pay attention to, because I was so distracted by the morons that spent hundreds of dollars, some thousands, to go to this event. I went back and I watched it. That was not a bad pay-per-view match. And you look at the evolution, that's the word I'm going to use here with the pay-per-view coming up, of Brock Lesnar, right? We know what Brock can do. We've seen what Brock's done in the past. Say what you want. When he took on John Cena at SummerSlam and he gave him 19 German suplexes, that's badass. Okay? You know what I mean? How hard it is to fall on the back of your neck.
The way he did it was fantastic. Plus, it was John Cena, so a lot of us were laughing and loving it anyway.
But it doesn't bother me that he did the same thing to Roman Reigns. That's what he is. Will we get more from it? I don't know. I hope we do.
I don't think it's a suplex. I don't think it's Brock's skill set. I don't think that was the thing that killed it. You know, when I was watching it, what killed it for me was I was purposely counting. I was like, okay, I know that they're going to kick out of each other's finisher at least once because that's going to be good because they're both supposed to be tough, badass characters. I understand that. I know they're going to kick out at least once out of each finisher. Cool. Okay, why am I counting 7 F5s? You see what I'm saying? It's like, okay, well, you're going to F5 them 18 times, F5 them through a table, then F5 them again, and, you know, make them bleed and all that stuff, and, you know, he thinks he's going to do something. And that, I think it's just the way it finished. It felt like there was not enough going on in there. Because Roman's, like I told you all before, and this is what some people thought I was crazy for saying this, but when it comes to being athletically gifted in the ring, when it comes to him being he's if I had to pick who can handle an athletic match that demands you to be able to add something of substance to it, I would take Roman Reigns over John Cena. Now, John Cena, in my opinion, can probably tell a better in-ring story sometimes.
Oh, Cena's amazing.
Roman Reigns from a physical standpoint.
I think people misunderstood that.
That's fine. You can have that, but Roman Reigns from a physical standpoint can do a lot more in the ring.
Let me rephrase that before Mike, before King Vaughn Jr. 720 tweets that out. I'm not saying Johnson is the best in-ring performer. I'm saying when it comes to wrestling psychology and the squared circle and all the matches that he's had and the big matches that he had, he's one of the best. He's up there with Flair. He's up there with Brett. He's up there with Shawn in the aspect of intelligence in the ring. Not what he can do in the split circle. Like, AJ Styles is a way better wrestler than John Cena. Not even question about that. It's duh, right? But in that squared circle, and this has come out of AJ Styles' mouth. It's come out of Jericho's mouth. It's come out of Sting's mouth. It's come out of Triple H's mouth. In that squared circle, John Cena knows where his marks are going to hit. He knows how to sell. He, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're talking about putting, you know, what we say, guys who...
Well, some people wouldn't agree on the selling part.
Cena led his match against AJ Styles. How many people can say that he was the leader in a match against AJ Styles, the phenomenal one? That's all I'm saying.
Said,
I'm
hold
saying
on, that he was... You said that John Cena was leading in the match against AJ Styles?
He led the match, which means he was, you know, in a match, you have someone who follows and someone who leads in a match. That's in every wrestling match. He led that match. No. I'm not speaking opinions. I'm not speaking hyperbole. When I say this, you
just make it,
understand what I'm
saying. Wait, what you had a drink today? did you have an adult beverage for the show?
Ask AJ Styles what he was drinking, because that's how the match went. AJ Styles said John Cena led the match. Now, that may be Vince's call, which it possibly could be. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, for those maybe like Jay Chris, that means John Cena was the one who would say, okay, throw me over here. All right, we're going
to
go here.
Yeah, like he was basically calling the spots. He was basically calling the spots and giving direction to the spot, giving direction to the match as far as the flow, what AJ should do, how he should respond, all that stuff. So. That was funny.
We got to get out of here. Hopefully on Sunday we'll do a post show. When I got here real soon, Wally, Raw tonight is a must-watch show. I hope you check it out, my brother. But before we got here, we got to talk about it, guys. You know the words. Sing along with me. Best and worst of the weekend. Right there. Best and worst of the weekend real fast, Mike. I got 30 seconds. Go.
Yeah, no problem. Best of the weekend was Tyson showing us that a comeback is still possible. Worst of the weekend and the most laughable thing of the weekend. Y'all thought y'all were going to have 400 people. You barely broke 50. And everyone overreacted. Y'all are weak and y'all ain't got no real power.
Okay. He's talking about that, but. All right. Best and worst of the weekend. Go ahead. I'm not even going to go with that one yet. Go ahead, Wally Wild. Best and worst of the weekend.
Worst of the weekend. Darius Geis tearing his ACL. It's hard for a young man who, you know, just gets his career started to tear his ACL. That's terrible. And also, yeah, I'm with Micah. Tiger, you know, I'm not the biggest Tiger fan. I don't care if you finish second. But I saw swag and I saw confidence. And that's a good thing with Tiger Woods.
Well, for me, best and worst of the weekend, the best was Tiger Woods lost. Sorry. I didn't bring him up on purpose on the show for a reason. Until Tiger Woods wins a major or even a damn event, I can care less. The best of the weekend to go with Tiger was the fact that the Cubs last night in the bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, walk-off grand slam against the Washington Nationals. And worst of the weekend happened this morning, waking up first thing this morning, hearing the loss of one great Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Jay Chris, get us up out of here. Worst of the weekend, Jay Chris.
Hey, the best of the weekend for me was probably that Little League team from Detroit, Michigan, man. Them boys was balling. If you ain't get a chance to see them, definitely check them out in Williamsport. They're going to be balling out of control, the Hawaii team as well. The worst of the weekend, on top of the Jim the Anvil Neidhart, was hearing that, you know, Aretha Franklin is in ill health right now, grave condition. So, you know, prayers go out to both of those families, and you know, I just pray for their strength.
With that being said, guys, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love.
piece of meat without loving God, y'all. Straight cash, homie. We out of here, y'all. Peace.
Very talented.
This is the Soul in Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul in Sports, we keep it hot, man.
And that's the bottom line. Look how Stone Cold sets up.
If you're